Wake up, wake up. Get out of the rack. It's Friday, March the 20th. Hey, look, if you don't want to get out of the rack, at least you got day two of the tournament.
Oh, welcome to Wake Up Indeed. I'm Damon. He's Larry. It's great to have you here. It is Friday, March 20th. And like Larry said, it's day two of the tournament. Man, there are a lot of suffering going on in the radio world. CBS basically shutting down its entire radio division today. Layoffs are everywhere. I'm sorry if that affects you. All I can tell you is it's a really good day to be underemployed. You got the NCAA tournament to at least get you through the day and this weekend, and then you worry about finding a job on Monday. But it's great to have everybody here. Hopefully everybody is gainfully employed, in a good mood. The weather in the Bay Area has just been fantastic, no matter where you're watching us. Hopefully it's great where you are too. And Larry, let's just hop right in with the biggest thing that the 49ers are looking at and have to solve before we get to any consideration of mock drafts or what the Niners are going to do at 27 or anything. It's time to talk Trent Williams here, because this has actually gone on a little bit longer than I thought. I don't know why that still surprises me, because the Niners always sort of slow play their business dealings, even with players that, you know, you think, well, that's such a priority, they're not going to slow play that. But here we are. It is the end of March, and this team does not have the left tackle that it needs under contract. I think they need to get that left tackle under contract ASAP. I really do.
Well, you know, it's funny, because there's a lot of people who are like, well, Krug, you don't get it. He just doesn't like to go to training camp. And it's like, well, whatever. I mean, you know, whatever the reasoning is, I don't listen to me. Listen to Matt Maiocco, who says it feels a little different this time. I mean, it's just a matter of everybody knows where everybody's at. There's all this mutual respect. It's just a matter of, do you want to go down this road or not? Do you want your choices? You're not going to release the best tackle of his era. So your choices are find a trade partner or extend him. And if you're extending him, you're not getting a hometown discount. He's going to want full fare, full boat. So you got to decide. Either you really, really want Trent Williams and you're willing to have a mountain of dead cap, even post his career, you know, year one or two of his retirement. Or, you know, Bill Barnwell suggested a nice little compromise. Maybe they can come to some kind of a compromise, or you're going to trade him. And I would imagine that Houston and Kansas City would be the teams that would be out there. You know, you're not going to get fair value for a 38-year-old left tackle as good as Trent Williams. So these are all tough decisions. My guess, they've always caved when it comes to Trent. So my guess is they'll always cave. But it does feel different. And, like, if there was an announcement today at some point that the 49ers had traded Trent Williams to some team for some offensive lineman and some draft choice, would I sit there and be like, oh, my God, I'm stunned? No, I'm not. I won't be. It could happen today.
I wouldn't be stunned, Larry, but I will tell you right now, that is the single fastest way to take yourself from a contender to out of contention. It is self-sabotage on a level that I think would just doom the entire upcoming football season. Of course, you'd have your moments of, hey, they still look good. Hey, this guy's getting it done. But when it comes down to it, Trent Williams is too good to walk away from, period. The only thing that's gumming up the price point of this is the man's age. Otherwise, if we're just going by performance, you know, you are how you perform. Here's who Trent Williams still is in the NFL. These are five facts. These are not my opinions. This is not my feelings. These are the facts. Fact number one, he's still the best left tackle in football. If Pro Football Focus is your thing, they graded him at 91.1. That is ranked first among all left tackles. He did that while playing through an ankle injury. There is no reasonable argument that any available replacement, any available free agent, any available draft pick would enter the 2026 season as ready to play football as Trent Williams will be ready to play football. So that is the first negotiating point that Team Williams is putting on the table. Forget about the age. This is still the tallest tree in the forest, and you need him. You need his shade across your offense. Number two, the 49ers offense is measurably worse without him. The data is in. In games where Williams missed in 2024 and 25, San Francisco's offensive line pressure rate spiked, Brock Purdy's pocket time dropped, and his presence directly correlates with all Brock Purdy metrics that we lean into to explain why Brock Purdy is so much better at this than anybody wants to. Brock Purdy's efficiency is completely tied into the protection he gets from Trent Williams. I got a few more points, but do you want to react to any of that before we move along?
Well, I mean, there's no reason. I mean, save your points. I mean, we all know what we're talking about here. We're talking about the best left tackle of his era. Yeah, you're not going to be better if you move on. But, you know, this is the bottom line. You can't go down these roads forever. At some point, you're going to have to cut bait or, you know, at some point he's going to take a step back and not be that great. That's the other thing. I mean, the bottom line is he's got a $10 million option that's due today. It would add $2.5 million to the cap for the next four seasons. Here are the scenarios. They could rework a contract with him today. They could, you know, decide to push it back a day or two to give them more time to talk. They could do nothing, which they're not going to do, and allow that bonus to trigger, which would then mean that he's definitely with the team, but also he's with at a cap figure that's not palatable. So there's that would probably mean that some kind of restructure would have to probably come down the pike at some point. Or they could trade him. They can trade him, you know. And there's a cap hit that comes with trading him. There's a cap hit that comes with releasing him. There's cap obligations that come with extending him. You know, I mean, so you just got to decide. You got an older player. You just had $100+ million of dead cap. Do you want to have another $100+ million dead cap year? If you do, sign him up to a market rate extension, kick everything down the road and deal with tomorrow.
Again, teams
I don't think it's that odd though that they don't have a replacement, because I mean, you're talking about most teams don't have a replacement for their quarterback, let alone any of their position, any of the other players on the team. So it's not that rare that you don't have a guy just ready, you know, ready waiting to step in there to be great.
Well, again,
especially when you look at what they pay these guys.
Had better plans been laid, had they not? I mean, clearly, we're riding Trent Williams to the wheels fall off has been the plan, because they've made no other alternative plans around him. There is no Trent Williams is plan A and plan B for the San Francisco 49ers at left tackle. Austin Pleasance isn't going to cut it. The guy Lowe that they just signed, Vedarian Lowe, that is not, you know, if you think you're going to go and compete with the Seahawks and the Rams with a replacement level left tackle in the first year where Brock's contract is officially kicking in, that $265 million extension kicks in now for Brock. And to ask a journeyman left tackle to protect a $50 million a year quarterback, just that's a mismatch that the front office cannot afford. That's ridiculous. And I just think that, you know,
there's other guys out there. There's Taylor Decker. If you want Taylor Decker, he just got released from the Lions. He was the longest tenured player on the Lions. He spent 10 seasons with the Lions. I mean, are you downgrading? I mean, you're talking about a much younger player.
But he's not better. He doesn't produce more. I'm talking about production. Forget the age.
You're talking about Taylor Decker. I don't know if you don't know who Taylor Decker is, but
yeah, I know who he is.
His numbers are pretty good. I mean, his PFF pass blocking grade over the last three seasons is top 25.
Trent Williams is number one.
Pressure rate. Damon, you're talking about a player who's not a replaceable player. It's a matter of, do you want a mountain of dead cap? If you don't care about dead cap, then sign him to whatever you want.
I don't.
Go as far as you want. See, but dead cap ruined seasons. It ruined last season. I mean, you could make an argument that the Niners were trying to win the Super Bowl with an arm tied behind their back. They had $103 million of dead cap. So whether you want to announce it to the public or not, whether you want to say we're rebuilding or not, when you have $103 million of dead cap, you're not going to win. And they came as close as they possibly could come, considering that amount in a dead cap. But the question is Trent Williams worthy of doing a market value extension at 38 and incurring another massive potential dead cap hit, which makes another season down the road potentially just another throwaway year? How many throwaway years are you going to have?
27 Niners. I'm not worried about the 2028 Niners, the 2029 Niners. Those seasons are far away enough to where I just ain't worrying about them yet. The 2026 49ers, it's the only Niner team that this upcoming season is going to be affected by. And, you know, why are you bringing in Mike Evans? Why are you going ahead and adding Christian Kirk?
The thing is, your plan, can I just say this? Your plan doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense. You want the Niners to go after Monroe Freeling. Monroe Freeling is going to mean that you have to probably trade up in the first round to get him. He's going to go somewhere between 8 and like 15.
Yeah, he's probably off the board now. Yes.
So he's going to be gone. So how do you go with Monroe Freeling and keep Trent Williams and fill all the – and Monroe Freeling isn't going to play because he's not a guard. He's a tackle. He's a long, rangy tackle. So this plan of re-sign, bring Trent back no matter what and then go get Monroe Freeling no matter what, these are like contradictory to each other, because what you're going to do is you're going to spend a ton of money on tackle, both cash-wise and draft capital. You'll have your tackle of the future, but really the tackle of the future desire is kind of hedging on the present, because in reality, you need the present to be, I don't know, maybe D'Angelo Pons, or maybe somebody who can rush the passer, or maybe somebody who can tackle somebody. So all I'm saying is I get the Niners want to replace Trent when it's time to replace Trent. Everybody wants the seamless transition of like you have a guy. But this is the cap. You got to draft these guys so high, then you got to pay them so much that it really doesn't allow for you to have too many ramp up years for your future tackle.
Then they should have made this bold choice with Jalen Moore before they let him walk for the kind of money that he walked for. You know, there was a way to avoid this. The Niners not only did not avoid this, they leaned into it. And by the way, your camera is avoiding you right now, Larry. You have gone dark on the screen.
I don't know why the Jalen Moore is probably didn't even grade out as well as Austin Pleasants last year. And they paid him tons of money. So having Jalen Moore walk out is not the problem. I don't know that the Niners feel like they've got, with Trent and McKivitz and Pleasants, they've got tackle covered in the present. Now, if you want to have tackle covered in the future, that's a different conversation. But in the present, they feel like they have it covered. They need, in their mind, they need a starter for Burford, a left guard. Maybe the long-term answer for Brendel and the long-term answer for Trent. But the long-term answer for those two guys is more of a...
Here's what I know about dead cap. Dead cap was supposed to completely annihilate the Denver Broncos because of all the Russell Wilson dead cap. They were in the AFC title game last year. If dead cap annihilated the 49ers ability,
the Russell Wilson thing was years ago. They had right, dead cap monster hits in the previous year.
Dead cap annihilated the team's ability to compete. They were one of the final four representatives in the NFC. Again, I think dead cap is accounting stuff. Yeah, it matters. Of course, I understand.
Come in a cap, dude, it's not. And believe me, dude, it's not complicated. You have $100+ million to deal with. If you're spending $100+ million, and Trent your Williams opponent is spending $30 million, you're going to have a better chance to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
When you have $103 million of dead cap and a hard cap, we're not talking about an NBA soft cap. We're talking about a hard cap. A hard cap sport with $103 million doing nothing for you. is a sentence. The fact that the Niners got the record they got is really more of credit to an incredible coaching staff, a horrible schedule, and some pretty good quarterback play. I mean, let's be honest, between what they got out of Brock Purdy at the end, what they got from Mac Jones in the middle, the Niners got great quarterback play. They got elite coaching. They had an amazingly easy schedule on paper. They played a lot of dog meat teams, and they found a way to win 12 games. But in a hard cap sport with $103 million of dead, I mean, it's not like you have to be analyzing it. The cap's only $175 million.
Larry, if they re-sign Trent Williams today, if they get a deal done, you're going to do a video that says this is the right thing to do. So why are you arguing with me now?
No, I'm not.
This is the right thing to do. If you
I'm not going to do a video saying this is the right thing to do. I've got a video right now that I'm working on that says that it is time for the 49ers to rip off the Band-Aid, and this is a great draft for them to invest in their future guard, center, and tackle, and they should. So I'm not in the big mountain of dead cap idea. Now, I'm not Lombardi, okay? I'm not one of these content creators that I need to align with the Niners. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. I've disagreed with the Niners plenty, and I will continue to. I'm not one of these guys that just aligns with whatever the power teat is doing. There's lots of people that do that. Lots and lots and lots and lots of people. They just say they love every move. I hate this one guy. He's a nice guy. He's on Niner Twitter. I won't name him. But every single time they do something, it's like, you know what? That was the right move.
Over heels. They're very, very excited.
I mean, there's lots of people. Some of the biggest Niner content creators, when the Niners do a misdirection, all they do is they just read the tea leaves and just, I'll just read the tea leaves. It's really easy to read, usually, if you have any ability at all. So they'll sit there and they'll read the tea leaves. Well, guess what? They get screwed when the Niners double down. Well, the Niners don't double down or reverse course very often, but they did last year, right? So there were lots of people after they signed, you know, Kyle Juszczyk, were like, it was after they got rid of him. It was the right move to get rid of him. Those same people were doing videos literally a week later. It was the right move to get rid of him and then have his market crater and then to bring him back at the figure, you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, I honestly, I don't
in other
watch
words,
any
they did it so exactly I really right.
I don't care. I don't care what anyone's saying. Here's what I know, and here's why I talk about the offensive line all the time. It's the most important thing you can do on a football field. You do not get a better offensive line this upcoming season by walking away from Trent Williams. All the numbers that fall around that, no matter where you want to say the numbers fall into the good pile, the bad pile, good investment, bad investment, what I do know is the Niners are at their best with Trent Williams starting at left tackle next year. Brock Purdy will be at his best with Trent Williams starting at left tackle. If you lose Trent Williams, you lose the number one graded left tackle in football. Doesn't sound like a good idea to a team that wants to compete. You lose Brock Purdy's blind side. That doesn't sound like a good idea who wants to keep a team who wants to keep a $50 million quarterback protected. You lose Christian McCaffrey's running lanes. He runs to the left more than he runs to the right. Why is that? It's because Trent Williams has a 92 run blocking grade, the best in football at his position. And
you want to do an awful lot of things. I mean, you want to go Monroe Freeling no matter what, and now Trent Williams returns no matter what.
Stop putting words in my mouth. I said Monroe Freeling before the world did, and then he graded out so well, he's a top 10 pick now, and I will agree with you. If Monroe Freeling is there at 27,
you can't do both. You cannot do both.
If Monroe Freeling is there at 27, you take him. He will not be there at
27. The idea of your whole thing doesn't make sense because you're trying to be the best you can be and then draft offensive linemen who don't play.
Wait a minute. Don't tell me about the future if you're not going to plan for it. Don't talk to me about future cap hits.
About the future in the future. That was your statement 5 seconds ago. You just said, I'll worry about 27 and 27. I'll worry about 28 and 28. Well, either you're worrying about 27 and 27 and 28 and 28, or you're worrying about it now. You're doing both.
The reason why they're in their situation is because they not address this. They've not addressed it in years past.
There's no situation. They have the best left tackle in football. There is no situation. What do you mean? What situation? They have the best. They have the best left tackle in football, and they have him under contract right now. There is no situation.
Right. Okay.
What situation are we talking about? They have the best left tackle under in football under contract right now. So the Niners haven't done anything wrong here. I mean, you make it sound like they've done something terribly nefarious.
They haven't done anything wrong.
They don't want to draft
Trent Williams.
They don't want to draft. They don't want to invest a top half of the first round draft choice in a tackle that's going to sit the bench. And we've talked about it like 20 times.
So if you
draft Monroe Freeling, he's got to play. And if you re-sign Trent Williams, he's got to play. So there's only one left tackle. And Monroe Freeling, it's not like stick him at guard. I mean, sometimes you might be able to stick Caden Proctor at guard. You might be able to stick a few guys at guard.
I think Freeling's fast enough to do it. That's why I originally thought he was the right pick.
It's not about speed. It's about his length. He's a 6'7" long, leggy guard. I mean, to me, that sounds like malpractice. You're going to take your leggy guard and put him inside where guys are likely to fall into his legs and he's likely to have a lower body injury. That's not my game plan. My game plan is you have pass rush needs, linebacker needs, defensive back needs, offensive line needs, wide receiver needs. You don't have your running back of the future. You don't have a backup running back. You got a bunch of needs. So fill those needs and when either sign Trent Williams or go for that tackle. But you can't sign Trent Williams and go for that tackle because otherwise you're going to have assets just sitting around while you have guys who are undrafted basically having to fill your other needs. And you can't have that. I mean, it's just like anything else. You can't have, a $1 million, vase and you can't pay your mortgage. It's like you might have to get rid of the $1 million vase. And that's kind of where we're at with Monroe Freeling and Trent Williams. You have two very expensive items there. Go ahead. You want to go with Trent Williams? Go with Trent Williams. You want to say goodbye to Trent Williams and trade up for a Freeling and go that way. But the Niners don't want to do that and then have that guy just sit as they watch him develop. They don't believe in that. They don't want that. They got too many other needs to go that direction. So I don't think they're going that direction. Now, the question is, are they going to come to some kind of an agreement today and get this thing done? Or are they not? And it's going to be because there's been no talk of trades. All the talk has been that they're going to get this done. So
they should.
If they're going to get it done, let's see it get done. But if it doesn't get done, you're not releasing him, so that means you're probably trading him. So this could be a very, very momentous day in 49er history before it's all said and done.
If they want it to be a momentous season, hopefully they get Trent Williams resigned. I think that's pretty much a no-go. If you walk away from this guy right now, he's still the best left tackle in football. That's going to cost money in any season.
You know what? You know, you might be right. The Lions last year lost Frank Ragnow. He's a Trent Williams, but at the center spot. And by the end of the year, their offensive line was not the same. So, and they didn't make the playoffs. And offensive lines mean a lot. These guys are really, really specialized. There's nobody really out there. I mentioned Taylor Decker. There's really no free agent. If you go for an offensive lineman in the draft, We'll see. I mean, to me, it looks like they're going to choose between Ian Hatcher and Blake Miller. Miller's really polished, lower ceiling. Ian Hatcher's really raw, barely played football in high school, but is a super high ceiling. And then it's just a matter of, what are you looking for? What are they going to go for? The guy who could be the best left tackle in football, but may not be good at all? Or are you going to go with Blake Miller, who's probably a lock to be really, really solid, but also probably a lock to, he's not Mike McGlinchey, but he's also not, Tristan Wirfs. So we'll see.
I mean, if you're drafting Blake Miller at 27, you want to talk about you're not going to be using him in the upcoming season. There you go right there. Where I think a guy like Monroe Freeling, who isn't going to be there even. By the way, we'll talk about what John Lynch is doing in Georgia. But
I would go with the guard. I mean, you know, I mean, to me, I look at it very much like you need a guard. You need a left guard. Now, I think you need a great left guard who may, and maybe you need a center. Okay. So you need a guard for sure. And you need a future tackle. Maybe not this year, but you need your future tackle. So where do those sit in the pecking order? Do they have a guy? Do they have guys in mind?
I don't think you get future starting left tackles with compensatory picks at the end of the fourth round. I mean, if you do, good luck. I mean, that's, you know, if you can find a diamond in that mine, you're a very good general manager.
I mean, that's how they got their guy they have right now. Colton McKivitz was a fifth round pick.
You can find that. And again, but has Colton McKivitz ever been truly elite? Have people been totally satisfied with the job that McKivitz has done? Now, I'm one of the bigger
Niners are. The Niners love him.
But the Niners like Jack Brendel too. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I will say this. I have stumbled on a guy in the draft that I think is really, really special on the offensive line.
Jake Slaughter, Florida.
His name's Fabechi Awewu from Oklahoma. And he was all conference, you know, guard, played center this year in the Shrine game, started at North Texas, transferred to Oklahoma, 2-year starter at Oklahoma. He played right guard and right tackle in college, but he can play left guard, center, or right guard. He played center at the East-West game. He did not allow a sack all year. He allowed 2 pressures in pass protection all year. Super high character kid. He won the Don Key Award, which is a big momentous award for Oklahoma offensive linemen. He won the Pat Tillman Award at the East-West Shrine game. He's a very special kid. Day 3, Oklahoma only gave up 29 sacks all year. This guy is super tough. He's 35-inch arms. He went from walk-on at North Texas to all-conference at Oklahoma. I love this kid. Fabechi Awewu, he's probably going to be maybe late third, maybe early fourth, maybe fifth. He's in that third 3-5 round range. And to me, this is your plug-and-play starter at left guard. Steps in for Burford. Play him there for a year. Kick Brendel out probably mid-season and move this guy from left guard to center. And this is your dominant center of the future. He's 315 pounds. He's strong as hell. He's got really, really long arms. He's very smart, very athletic, and he's tough. I mean, you got to be able to move Leonard Williams and Byron Murphy.
Well, if you're looking to go guard early, I mean, Oregon's Pregnon is probably
Pregnon
in that range. Yeah, I think he's in that range. I think he's doable at 27. I think you get him there.
Who knows? It's all guesswork. I think they're going edge rusher probably, or maybe even wide receiver, but I think it's probably edge rusher, wide receiver, lineman, offensive lineman. We shall see. Like, there's also trade potential.
I'd like to see the lineman prioritized no matter what. I'm on record there. It doesn't need to be Monroe Freeland. Monroe Freeling's a top 8 pick. He's gone. And by the way, I'm sure that everyone who is down at Georgia's pro day, which John Lynch was, and let's talk about who and maybe what John Lynch was looking at Georgia's pro day. Monroe Freeling, look, you know, there's a reason why I got a crush on this guy. I think he's going to be very special. I had one crush on the offensive line last year. It was Armon Membu. I felt justified in that. I feel justified in this. We'll see. But the players that I think that John Lynch is really there to watch, I mean, obviously there's a ton of talent coming out of Georgia, but I think he's down there to really take a good look at CJ Allen, the linebacker, who's got a first round prediction on him, but you can't find him in the top mocks right now because he skipped the combine. He didn't go at the combine. He missed all of his workouts. So he fell out of a lot of top 32 picks in mocks, but he is a real, real, real player. And if he has a big pro day at Georgia, I think John Lynch might be really interested in linebacker CJ Allen. And the other guy that I think he's down there to check out is Oscar Delp, their tight end, who is a day two, but could be a day three guy for the 49ers. So I think those are the two players that he's most interested in checking out. And then they got this, Dylan Bell kid, who's a little bit of a Debo hybrid. He's a wide receiver. He's a running back. He's a weapon that I'm sure Kyle Shanahan could dream about drawing some plays up for. Who do you think he's down there checking out?
Well, I mean, George is so loaded, but I mean, Kristen Miller is really tight with Mikel Williams. And he's a really good defensive tackle that has a lot of talent. They draft a lot of defensive tackles. They draft a lot of big boys. They said defensive front. So it makes me think that defensive front guys would be what they're looking at. But
if Kristen Miller were the right pick, and I think he's good, Miller. Good. Yeah. I think it would be a good pick in the second round, but Osi Odighizuwa is the reason why he's not your first round choice, right?
Well, no, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that they have a lot, you know, Osa's very talented for sure. And he's that, you know, it's the one thing there's a lot of unknown this year. The unknown is tied to Raheem Morris. We don't know exactly what Raheem Morris wants, because Raheem Morris last year drafted two rushers, but they were both 240 pound guys. Are the Niners going with smaller rushers? Maybe they're going for Cassius Howell. You know, at A&M.
I got to tell you, the more I look at him, the more I do like him, and the more I think he could fit.
I mean, he's the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. But, you know, I would say it's either about Kristen Miller, who's a gigantic tackle from Georgia, who I said is really tight with Mikel, and I think the Niners could be looking at him. It could be, you're right, it could be C.J. Allen, the linebacker. I mean, you know, one of the other needs of the Niners is that they used to have great linebackers, and they don't have a great young linebacker. And there's no doubt that Allen is a great young linebacker. But then watching the workout yesterday, you know, yesterday was the pro day. Oscar Delp, the tight end, ran 4.48. Yeah. He had a 38.5-inch vertical. He's 6'5", 245 pounds. If you watch the film, he looks fast. I mean, he's running away from dudes. And then, you know, the book on Delp was he was a blocker. So, you know, he's known as a blocker, but he's got lower body explosive traits, that 38.5-inch vert. That's a wide receiver number. That's a huge vert for almost a 250-pound man. And then to run sub 4.5, Delp might be going in the second round. So I would say he might've been there for Delp. He might've been there for Kristen Miller. He might've been there for your guy, Monroe Freeling. He might've been there for CJ Allen. You know, it's hard to say. I mean, Dalen Everett, the corner, it was a five-star corner. Dylan Bell is a converted running back who's got a lot of Debo-like traits. They have another receiver named Colby Young, who's 6'5 and tested out amazingly at the combine. So
It could absolutely be
Zachariah Branch, because, you know, Shanahan has said, you know, I think the Niners, you know, first of all, you always wonder what's the Niners theme, and it's hard to know, right? It's hard to know what a team's theme is. They don't share it with you, but this is a copycat league. And to me, the number one attribute of Seattle's championship is their dominance of explosives. They get them on offense, and then they eliminate them and minimize them or completely eliminate them altogether on defense. So Zachariah Branch is a 5'9", 175-pound receiver, but he's a very electric mover. He ran 4.36. He put up 20 reps of 225, so he's very strong. I could totally see them going something else early and then trading back into the third round, or trading back from the second round, winding up with a pick in the third round and taking Zachariah Branch, because I think they want that return guy replacement. The other one that was really interesting that came up yesterday, the story that came up yesterday, we hadn't hit on this, is the Niners are having a 30 visit with KC Concepcion.
Yeah.
And KC Concepcion, in the draft guides, I was looking at the player comp, they compare him to Christian Kirk. And in a lot of ways, I can see why. They're very similar players. But Casey Concepcion in round one and then an edge rusher in round two, that could be the way they go. Or they could go Cassius Howell, edge rusher in round one, maybe receiver in round two. If it was up to me, I would trade back. To me, the safest play is trade back a few spots, 3 to 5 spots if you can. And you say, well, who wants to trade up? The Jets and the Cardinals are the teams that I would call about Ty Simpson, because there's a lot of talk that Ty Simpson's going to go end of the first, early second. So if you're the Niners, trade your first to the Jets or the Cardinals or any other team. Get into the top of the second round. Get yourself an extra pick maybe on day two and maybe an extra seventh round pick, and draft D'Angelo Pons.
I'm glad you brought this up, because there are three mechanisms which would, I really think, trigger that we're trading back at 27. We're picking up more picks. The number one thing would be Ty Simpson falling to the end of that first round, and some team saying, look, man, we want to come up and pounce on a quarterback and get another year that we got control of him.
Right. And that's why they would do it.
Right. If somebody trades up to 27 for Ty Simpson, I think the Niners got to jump on that opportunity. If Aaron Rodgers decides to retire and the Steelers are looking for a quarterback, flipping Mac Jones to the Steelers could do it. And there is a story today that would maybe open up the possibility of a Mac Jones trade to the Arizona Cardinals, although you'd think that within the division, it's not what the Niners want to do. But again, they can't wait around for perfect when pretty good comes their way. Did you see the story today that even though Arizona might be interested in bringing Jimmy G as their starter, Jimmy G might be more interested in going to Green Bay to back up Jordan Love, which
is so crazy, because Jimmy G grew up in Chicago.
Dude, if that is true, that says so much. Bears fan. Well, but that also says so much about where he is in his competitive mindset. I would rather be an NFL starter than an NFL quarterback, pretty much in any situation if I'm an NFL quarterback. But if he's like, I'd rather back up Love than start for the Cardinals, that probably tells you where Jimmy's career is in his own mind. So you're either trading Mac Jones to the Cardinals or the Steelers, or you are pouncing on the team that wants to come up for Ty Simpson. And you better do it, because I'm sure there are a few other teams that are sitting at the back of that first round that would like to be the dance partner for
the Rams.
Yes. So this is one of those things where if you're going to do that, you better get aggressive at shopping that pick. Don't wait till the customer walks into your store looking for it. John Lynch needs to be shopping that pick now.
But let's get back for a second to Pons, because I do want to touch on Pons. I know there have been a lot of Niner fans that have been really critical of me for saying go get Pons. Okay. And I get it.
I don't know why. He is one of the best corners in football.
Well, because he's a corner. Because he's a corner and he's short. And I get it. People are saying, come on, Krug. They have all these other needs. And I get that. But guess what? They needed a wide receiver and they drafted Ricky Pearsall. And they still need a wide receiver. They needed an edge rusher, and they drafted Mikel, and they still need an edge rusher. So, you know, D'Angelo Pons has the best film of any corner I've seen in a long, long time. I watched him. I went down a rabbit hole this week for about 40 minutes and watched him, all the different interviews, the workout. He's 40 at Indy, all of his combine stuff.
There's nothing not to love.
He is an amazing player. I would say, you know, we're talking about as a tester, 43.5-inch vertical. As a producer, 7 interceptions and 33 PBUs in 3 years.
I say this without reservation, Larry. Indiana does not compete for a Big Ten title or win a national championship without D'Angelo Pons.
He had a 3.8% missed tackle rate this year, which was incredible. And yet, on average, Damon, guess where D'Angelo Pons sits in the mock draft database, does an average of all the different mocks that are out there of note. Guess where the average spot is where he goes in the draft.
46 to 56.
Yeah, right there. 51. 51st. So I'll say this. I've watched a lot of players, and corner is such a vitally important position, and you have to have great corners, okay? And the difference between 5'8", 5'9", 5'11", doesn't mean squat. Absolutely means nothing. Talk about a gigantic conversation about nothing. Oh, you know what? No, this guy is too short. He's 5'9". This guy's totally not too short. He's 5'11 and a half. What? Shut up. I mean, seriously, shut up. D'Angelo Pons, at worst, D'Angelo Pons is Upton Stout. At worst.
If you put D'Angelo Pons into the slot, do you think Upton Stout can play safety?
Yes, and I also think that you can play D'Angelo Pons outside. I don't think he has to be. He has a 43-inch vertical. He's plenty competitive at the catch point.
He was a boundary defender an awful lot of plays at Indiana. He was a starting player.
This is an amazing player. This is not a good player, not a great player. This is one of the better corners I've seen in the last 5 or 6 years. The Niners have effed up the number one pick so often, trying to serve all these masters, trying to fill all these needs. And they're thinking of it the wrong way. Identify the player that absolutely checks every box, and he does, except for height. And then just draft that guy. Get your draft going with a great player that you know is going to be good. Not one of these guys that, you know, Mikel was all right, but, you know, was he even the best guy in his line? No, Jaylon Walker was. The Niners probably should have taken Jaylon Walker if he had been there. You know, instead they went with a guy they really like in Mikel. And Mikel's got some good talent for sure. All I'm saying is they fucked up the number one pick so often. Go get Pons. Now you would have Pons and Demo. Now you can get this. How about this? You get Pons. You trade Renardo Green for Jonathan Greenard. And if you want a receiver, you don't want like Ricky, like me, trade Ricky and Green and Renardo Green for Greenard and Jordan Addison. You've got three veteran receivers, Addison and Evans and Kirk. Your receiver position is taken care of. Your edge position is taken care of because you have a proven edge now in Greenard, and you have two really great lockdown corners in Upton Stout and D'Angelo Pons that you can kind of build your back end around. That's how I want to start the draft. And I'll find offensive linemen. I like offensive linemen too, but there's some guards. You might be able to find the guy I like, Owawu. You might be able to find him in the third round. Maybe you got to trade a couple of those fourths to move up. But I really think the smart play for the Niners, considering they have Renardo, they're probably going to trade him. Go for Pons. Get the Renardo replacement. Trade Renardo for a solid defensive lineman. And don't take so many risks. Take the risk factor down several notches. That would be my
Let's hit some supers, Larry. You got to get going.
Yeah, let's do it. Right here we go. Here we go. We got five supers in the house. Thanks to, by the way, Pig and a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. or until they run out. All right, we got this one. Keats, 57. Denver had over 50 million in dead cap last year. Big difference. 103 million. The Niners had the only team that had more dead cap than Niners last year were the Raiders. Joseph Ernberg, boys. They are screwed either way. Ernberg back. He says, round one, Cassius Al. Round two, Chris Bell, guaranteed. You know what? If I had to wager on this, Damon, that we should do this video sometime. If you had to wager on what the Niners would do, I'm with Ernberg. I'd wager on that.
So I wouldn't bet against Cassius Al being the first pick. I don't think it's the right move, but I don't think it's the wrong move either.
Yeah.
You know what we need to do? I thought it was maybe our most successful draft exercise last year, where we start with your draft. What's the board that you like working with the most?
PF Pro Football Network, maybe?
Whatever it was, but we both agree on the same site, and you can't draft a player above where the prediction is. And I filled in the draft backwards from the sixth round to the first round. And I thought we look at it this way. I had Alfred Collins in the second round, got that, nailed that, feel good about that. I think that we need to do that exercise again the closer we get to the draft.
We can. We definitely can. Thoughts of an Uber driver. As much as I love Trent, I'd love to keep getting younger. If trading Trent forced us to grab some good O-line guys in the draft, finally, so be it. I hear what Damon's saying, too. I mean, once you signed Mike Evans, it seemed like a no-brainer for Trent. But then you get that mountain of dead cap.
It's still a no-brainer for Trent. He's the best left tackle in football. There's no better laid plans. There's no better ideas. There's no better way to think around a problem than to just re-sign the best left tackle in football, period.
I disagree. To me, the better plan would be trade him to Houston for a tackle like Ursary, plug in Ursary, see how he does, and get a pick. That's what I'd rather do with Trent and not have the mountain of dead cap coming part two. Thoughts of an Uber driver. Take a chill pill, Damon. It's always the sky is falling. Or this is the most amazing thing ever with you.
That's bullshit. That's total bullshit.
Come on. Hey, that's going to do it for us. I got 5 minutes to run. Well, nowhere. I'm just going to stay right here. But that's going to do it for us. Thanks to Pig and a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week. Thank you to Novato Chevrolet. The only Chevrolet I will drive is a Novato Chevrolet. Thanks to Habas Law. They're paying for pet adoption fees at the San Jose Animal Care Center, Saturday, March the 28th. Really cool, all day long, 10 to 4. That's at 2750 Monterey Road. And thanks to them as well. And then, of course, thanks to the Alamar Marina. If you want to float and dine, 5999 Garden Highway, alamarmarina.net on the web. Damon, hey, go ahead, shout out your sponsors.
I just want to say thanks to Ike and Ike Sandwiches. Today, if you buy a first sandwich, your second sandwich is only $8 when you use promo code Ike B-Day. Next Thursday is Ike's birthday. Then your second sandwich will be $4.80 because he's turning 48. I see what he's doing there. But today, your second sandwich, only $8 if you use promo code Ike B-Day. When you are eating at Ike's today, and hopefully you will, thank you very much for hanging out with us. Thank you for being a part of this. Like and subscribe on your way out if you haven't. For Larry, I'm Damon.
Goodbye.